Good morning, everyone. On today's show, evictions get paused. President Biden kicks the crisis can down the block another month. Will it change anything? We'll talk about that. AMC seems to be getting their hands slapped by Wall Street. You know, it's pretty hard to compete with Wall Street's algorithms, and that's what's been happening with this AMC stock. So can the AMC apes mount a comeback? The whole stock market is depending on you. Can you pull it off? And Amazon about to face a major union challenge. The Teamsters are sick and tired of how these workers are being treated, and they plan to vote tomorrow. Could be huge implications for Amazon. And another big story, I love this story out of Europe this morning. Should bosses be able to bother you when you're at home after hours? Europe doesn't think so. What do you think? Drop us a comment this morning right now, because Morning Invest starts right now. Grover, what are you barking at?
And he's off.
You don't work. Is that what you're upset about? Me keeping an eye on you?
It's like, you don't call me after hours. He's on his after hours right now, and you're talking to him.
Grover, who are you barking at? There's literally no one there. There's no one there. We are in the top part of the house. There's no one there. Who are you staring at, Grover?
A bird.
I don't get it. This morning, I took him for a walk, and Grover, can you pipe down, please? Got a show here to do. Yeah, I'm talking to you. So this morning I took him for a walk, and Grover, man, you're killing me, buddy. And I tripped and fell, and really took like quite a tumble.
Outside or inside?
Yeah, outside. Like, anyways, Grover, good. That's great. Thank you for that. Thank you for that help. There's no cat up here. So I literally started walking and fell down really hard. Bloody elbow, knee, everything. A real mess. And
were you
know,
running?
It was amazing. I must give a shout out. No, I was just walking. I mean, this is like what happens when you get older, I guess. I don't know. I'm just like walking. My right ankle just kind of turned under me. And I did one of those like old man falls, like where I'm like kept falling forward, you know, where you, and I kept like rolling. I'm like, all right, enough falling.
Dude, I'm 50 years old and I don't do that. So come on now. That's not an old man thing.
Oh man, my knee, I got a bloody knee. Ow, can't even put my elbow down. So really, I just need your sympathy this morning on the show. I'm going to muscle through. That's all I'm asking for. Just give me some sympathy. Normally, like on the show, I'd be able to lean in, you know, and I can't. I'm like, oh, like Larry, what was it? Larry King with the suspenders. I'd be like, yo, yeah. Margaret, tell me. And I can't even lean in right now to do it. So David, did it hurt? And I can't even do that right now. I got to use the other elbow this morning. Is that a tiny violin playing in the background?
Yeah. Tell us about your wound, Clayton.
That's not good, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Exactly, Joe. Be nice to me. Oh, for crying out loud, which I guess that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Hey, did you see this? We're going to get to the news in a minute. But, man, this is, you ever wonder why America is so stinking fat? I mean, this is in one picture. This explains why America is so stinking fat. Take a look at this.
Oh, I saw this yesterday. I showed that to Jennifer. Oh, I was, man, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So what this is, I mean, if you ever wonder why America is so fat, meet the coffee ice cream with a shot of espresso in a donut cone. Are
looks
you
like
bikini
a glazed
ready?
Donut too.
Yeah. It's a glazed donut rolled up with coffee ice cream with a shot of espresso shoved inside of this thing. America. Are you bikini ready? I am.
You ever see that image of weapons of mass destruction that somebody drew, and it was somebody dropping forks and knives over the United States?
I mean, we go back and forth, right? Mexico and the United States. Like, who's the fattest? Come on. I remember on the air a couple years ago when I was anchoring the news, and I said, oh, you know, Mexico has now taken the top spot as the fattest nation in the world. I said, congratulations, Mexico. Finally beat us. Finally got us. Now, that's not a distinction you want to have, I guess. We got a lot of news to get to this morning. But first, let's talk about our newsletter. We have a daily newsletter we publish. I recorded the screenshot earlier. So anyway, here's our newsletter. It supports our show, keeps us doing what we're doing. So just go to morninginvest.com, sign up. You get five stories delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning with a little bit of humor. Try to make you laugh a little bit, but also give you the news you can use first thing in the morning. like that giant shark. See that 880-pound shark seen off the coast of New Jersey? Yeah, there you go. So check it out. So we appreciate that. All right, let's check the markets this morning. Boy, it's been crazy. So far, it's been a good week. NASDAQ hit an all-time high. NASDAQ up this morning in the futures as well. Opening bell in about 24 minutes. Big tech companies, huge news yesterday, climbing at least 1%. Bitcoin, though, the Bitcoin bungee jump. No surprise on Bitcoin, by the way. Bitcoin, you know, came back. A lot of people were freaking out about Bitcoin. Bitcoin bouncing back. Jumped down below 30,000 yesterday, down to 28,000, wiped out all of its gains for the year for like a split second before jumping back up in the afternoon. So Bitcoin this morning, let's check the Bitcoin charts, up to 34 already. So again, we were at 28 yesterday. So a lot of people getting in. You know, if you look at the Bitcoin long charts this morning, you know, the longs are bullish. I mean, so you're getting the Bitcoin bulls that are coming back into Bitcoin right now. That's good news. That's good news for the whole market. But that is not to say that Bitcoin can't plummet back down. You know, Bitcoin could drop back down to 28, 25, even lower than that. But right now, the bulls, if you look at the long positions right now, look at these long positions. A lot of Bitcoin longs. So people are bullish in this. They bought in, you know, down here at 28, and they're holding. They're holding, right? And Bitcoin short positions down. Look at the Bitcoin shorts. So people are saying, maybe this is not the best time to short Bitcoin. That's a good sign right now for Bitcoin overall. And look, I think what's going to happen right now is I hope a lot of you didn't fear sell yesterday or over the past few days. Like, let me know in the chat how many of you like fear sold.
Oh, I fear sold last month.
Yeah, you see, and I think you learned your lesson, right? I mean, because I warned you this was going to happen. We could go down in the 20s. And guess who's going to make money? All the long position people, you know, all the short position people. They're going to buy up all these whales. They're going to buy up your fear-based coin sells. That's what's going to happen right now.
Now, is it possible?
So don't do it.
If you buy a bunch of Bitcoin, right? Let's say a lot of people had purchased and then all of this happened. Can you actually go negative and owe money back? Or
No.
No? Okay.
No. I mean, it would just be like an asset going to $0 in value and you're like screwed and then you've lost all your money. The worst thing in the world is like, hey, you buy into one of these crap coins, these really tiny like little crap coins that have nothing around them, you know, and then the project collapses and goes to zero and then you've lost your investment. That could happen. That's why in these kind of situations, you want to be long, you know, in your long-term portfolio, in my opinion, you know, in Bitcoin, in Ethereum and some of these bigger altcoins that have things built upon them, you know, like Dot and Link and Polkadex and those types of things. That's your long-term portfolio. That should be like 60% of your portfolio. The rest of it, you can day trade and do some of these smaller trades. But, you know, we want to lock this stuff in as a long-term store of value. I'm talking 6 months and good. You know, Heidi bought more. She says, bought more. Yeah, exactly, Delois. It says, hodl is the key. So are you hodling right now? but again, you know, we could see, I think Bitcoin up to 30. I mean, if we take a look at the charts, I think we could see Bitcoin hitting 36, 37. And that's when, if you bought in at 28, I would, in my opinion, take profits there. That's an opportunity for you to take profits, you know, sell out, makes it now that you've actually bought in at a lower, you know, lower average, maybe take some of that money out because there is a possibility that we could be dropping back down into that 20 range. But anyway, if you look at the long positions right now, Bitcoin longs, it's looking pretty darn good right now. So, Good news on the Bitcoin long stuff. Now, let's check Ethereum now, shall we? Because a lot of you are in Ethereum. This was down at 1,700. Look at this, bouncing back to 2,000. You know, I like I said, anything between 2,000 and 2,400 has been a buy. And now that it hit 17, like, man, this thing's going to skyrocket as well. Again, long-term holds. And then Doge even coming back a little bit. It was down at like 17 cents, 16 cents is up again as well. So coming back. You know, but when you look at gold, so here's gold and silver prices on the market right now. Like, you know, gold holding steady there. Why didn't gold plummet? You know, like if the idea is that, hey, everyone's nervous about these alternative asset classes and people are putting money into the dollar again, why didn't gold plummet? Why didn't silver plummet? It's down a little bit, but not much at all. Again, long-term store of value, precious metals. I'm a big believer in these precious metals, you know, something you need to make sure you have in your portfolio. A lot of interesting stuff going on. I mean, bulls are starting to pile into Bitcoin and Ethereum, which is good news. And hopefully we get some stabilization. Once we get some stabilization, that's when we can start seeing some real value in those alternative coins again. Cardano and others, you're going to start to see those explode. And that's going to be, then we're going to start making some good money. I'm excited for that. All right, let's talk about the top story this morning. I want to talk about, I'm not a financial advisor. So grab your iced coffee, grab your ice cream, grab your coffee, ice cream, and a donut. And let's get into some big news stories of the day.
Could you imagine the nap you would have after you ate that? Like, I think it would be a constant battle with your body because you'd be wanting to take a nap, but your body was like, but they put espresso in it. So you'd be like.
Oh, yeah. Good point. So it'd be you'd have an espresso shot in ice cream in coffee inside of a glazed donut cone. And you'd be like, oh, I'm kind of awake, but I'm kind of sleepy because the sugar rush. Yeah, that's kind of a conundrum.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I think by the time I got down to the cone, it would just be a soggy mess.
Well, and is the donut, like, deep fried to where it's hard? You know, like, when you're biting into it, are you biting into this crispy, like, hard thing? Or is it, like crispy on the outside but then gets soft on the inside? Because, like, that'd have to be a hard donut to hold. Like, you're holding it with your hand with ice cream in it.
Right. I mean, this is one of life's great mysteries right now. Has anyone in the chat had one of these things?
You know what I think we need to do, Clayton? For the future of this show, I think we need to get an outside investigator that we can send to do stories like this to find out. Go find out for us what these are like and bring us back the news.
Yeah. Doug S. says, no way. Yeah, Dean Thomas, it's glazed. Exactly. Yeah, we need to hire a correspondent. We need to have somebody who wants to get diabetes working on our show. Anybody watching right now want to have a... Right. If you want to have a heart attack, you know, give us a call and we'll hire you. So this is what you'll go and do. Wendy has... No, but you've tried a donut burger? Oh, see, I can't. No, I can't mix like the savory and the sweet like that. That's scary. That's not...
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Have you not ever had a McGriddle?
Well, I guess you're right. Good point. Yeah, McGriddle. Yeah, I guess you're right because you get the syrup and the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to stay away from those things. As much as I hate McDonald's, I will eat the hell out of those.
Yeah, I just don't want to... I want a burger. I want a good, like, good bun, like a good brioche bun or something like that. All right, we got a lot of news to get to. Let's talk about the housing crisis, shall we? So President Biden has a housing crisis on his hands, if you haven't noticed. Yes, he does. And I have an idea, frankly, why the mainstream isn't even covering this. The mainstream media is not covering it. Because you know why? It makes Biden look weak and disconnected on this issue. Totally, totally disconnected on this issue.
Aw, man.
I'm sorry, Joe. It's the truth. You know, think about this. If people are homeless... People don't have a place to live. It's going to come down to the man in charge. Even though the president, he's been in office for what? I don't know, 4 months, 5 months. You know, he's not been there very long. It doesn't matter, right? The buck always stops with the man in charge, the person in charge in the Oval Office. And that's what's happening right now. So you have all of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is expected to announce another month of eviction bans today. Okay. The current ban expires on June 30th, but lawmakers want more time. The moratorium prevents landlords from evicting non-paying tenants, and renters must then earn less than $99,000 per year or $198,000 per year for joint filers and swear that they're doing their best to make at least partial rent payments. And landlords right now have complained that the ban has left them holding the bag with high property taxes, insurance bills, maintenance responsibilities for properties that have not had any cash flow. So in a case that is currently right now being in front of the Supreme Court, landlords are saying that, hey, property owners have been losing $13 billion per month under this moratorium. So we got to stop this. We got to stop these evictions, the eviction moratorium, because we need our money. It's a good argument, right? These landlords, obviously, they have to pay mortgages. So what are you going to do? Congress, right? Congress has the opportunity to do something here. So Congress has approved money for rental relief, but the money will go to the states first, and the states are sitting on it yet. They haven't doled out any money to landlords yet. So what the heck is going on? Remember, this money, by the way, came out during President Trump's time. In December, this money was meant to go to landlords. Still haven't gotten anything. Nothing for many states. And you know, God knows the tenants don't even know what's going on. A lot of times the tenants don't even know about these programs. The money goes to the landlords, but then if you file, like you call up the state of New Jersey, you call up other states, you ask them about it, they're like, oh, we don't have any money. We don't have any money. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? The federal government's supposed to give you money. Well, who do we talk to here? Where do we go? What do we do? And you have millions of people that are about to be out on the street. Millions. And meanwhile, housing prices continue to skyrocket, pushing more and more homeowners away from the American dream. Like, I mean, just take a look at the current interest rates here. These are the current interest rates in today's newsletter that we put in every day. Every day we cover this in the newsletter. Look at that. 2.76% for a 30-year mortgage. What an opportunity for people. And yet the prices are going sky high. So they don't have access to getting these mortgages. The U.S. had the biggest home price jump since 1999. Since 1999. For a single-family home, the price topped $350,000 for the first time ever, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's a 24%. That was 24% higher than the median price last year. And right now, the shortage of available homes and interest rates have driven up prices all over the place. The rate of a home sales is down 0.9% from April to May, even as the prices continue to go up. And you have people literally, I mean, this is how disjointed, you have people sleeping on the streets. You have tent cities. I don't know why that, can you guys answer me in the chat? Like, why isn't the mainstream media talking about this? Why are they ignoring this story?
Did you happen to watch Secular Talk yesterday where Kyle showed Jordan Sheridan from Status Quo interviewing a homeless man who was a construction worker?
No.
Talking about the housing crisis and how, you know, that once they lose their home, it's almost impossible for them to get back into the system because when you fill out an application, you have to have an address, and he can't write down, I live in the park. So you kind of get into this system that you can't get out of. And it's a really interesting, spin on it.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't, once you're, and I mean, this is of course the problem because you have to have an address, right? We tie everything in the United States to having an address. If you don't have an address, you're worthless, right? Can't get a credit card, can't get a job. If you don't have an address, sorry. We're going to, it's not just about losing the home, which of course is a huge piece of this. It's about removing people from the system. I'll watch that. I'll watch that Kyle piece. That sounds interesting. Or the Jordan Sheridan piece. I used to work with Jordan at Fox.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. He did. He was like a producer or whatever there.
Yeah. I used to work with him. And when I was there, ow, my elbow, lean this way. And homeowners right now, you know, they don't want to wait for these interest rates to go up. So they're, you know, the federal government says it's going to happen sometime between now and 2023. So homes that go on the market don't stay there very long. The average home right now on the market is 17 days. 17 days. My mom recently, you know, my father passed away in July or January of this year. My mom sold our family house that we had for, and we were there for 35 years, basically in Pennsylvania, and sold the house. And it sold, I mean, like the first day it was listed, there was like three offers, and this house hadn't been updated or modernized really in any way. I mean, it was like the same that it was in the 1970s, very little upgrades, you know? So it needed a lot of work.
Well, and Doug is saying you can get an address easily. People who live in RVs do it all the time, but how are they going to do that? They can't get on the internet or anything. They're living in a park. How are they going to set up an address?
Right. And then, you know, you're getting your credit checked as well. So now if you've got a foreclosure, you got an eviction on your record, and they're going to check your credit to get, you know, utility bill turned on or credit. I mean, this is the problem. And the only way we're going to fix this is if the United States government steps in to fix it. Because you're going to have an entire generation of people, not even a generation, you're going to have an entire class of people just pushed further out of the system.
You know, Jimmy Dore made a really, really, really good point the other day. He said, when we had lettuce that had salmonella, two people died, and in the United States, they were able to recall every single head of lettuce and get it out of the supermarkets. They were ready, able to take that kind of action. They remove every single head of lettuce because two people died. you've got all of this stuff going on, and they act like they can't do anything.
They can absolutely do something. But where's the money in it, right? Where's the money in it? Where's the money in helping people that are going to be evicted from their homes? Where's the money? The money is in helping these big builders who are buying up. I mean, like BlackRock yesterday announcing that they're buying up, you know, 17,000 single family homes as part of an acquisition. 17,000 rental homes as part of their portfolio. Like, Wall Street will be fine. Like, helping Wall Street, great. Help the little guy, not going to happen. Not going to happen. We're going to talk more about, you know, helping the little guy in a second. I'm just curious in the chat, but just let me know in the chat, like, how many of you are struggling right now with rent? How many of you have struggled with mortgage payments? How many of you have been behind? And the estimate on people that have been behind on their rents is astronomical. Not to mention the people that are still have not been able to get caught up on their mortgage payments. And yet the mainstream media is not covering this story. Because if MSN or any of the liberal, you know, or I don't even want to call them liberal, whatever you want to call them, corporate liberal networks, CNN, MSNBC, whatever crap, you know, if they're going to cover it, it's going to make Biden look bad. They don't even ask Jen Psaki these questions in a press conference. Like, what about the millions of people that are about to lose their homes? And by the way, you have these toothless ideas that come from the CDC. Remember, the Centers for Disease Control, like, that's not that, they don't have much, very little power. Basically, a tenant has to say, I have a hardship, I can't pay because of the pandemic. And landlords have been finding creative ways to go around that eviction. They were able to say, hey, oh, I didn't know, like, I've been hearing a lot of loud music coming from your apartment lately. File an eviction, then it's your word against his, the landlord, even though you haven't played any music at all. Now it's a noise violation, and now it has nothing to do with the pandemic, and now you can be evicted. Like, this is the kind of chicanery that they're pulling right now. And all of these institutional landlords that are, they have the lawyers, they have the means to do it, and they will.
Well, and that's part of the problem. Like, everybody was saying, you know, everybody's like, oh, but Trump's gone. But the thing is, Biden is lying just as much as Trump did, but he's not doing it on Twitter, so nobody knows about it, and the media doesn't want to, like, they're just like, well, he's not Trump. Let's not make any waves. Let's not say anything that, like, let's not draw focus on anything that he's not doing because he's not Trump.
Right. Why doesn't Colbert spend a whole show talking about the housing crisis? You know, why don't we, instead of like trying to drumbeat around China and Russia, why don't we try to help the people here in the United States right now? Keep hearing, you know, CNBC wants to talk about, oh, it's great numbers right now, you know, like, oh, the Dow's in the green, everything's great, right? Wall Street's doing fantastic. BlackRock's buying up thousands of homes. That's wonderful for the market. We're doing great. We might raise interest rates a year from now, says the Fed. Good, we can calm down. Yeah, but there's still millions of people that don't care about this crap, okay, that are way behind on their rent, have their credit screwed, stepped in to help their families who maybe lost their home, and now they, you know, they had to leave work. I mean, we've heard here on this show from you guys who watch this show so many stories. It's just heartbreaking. Wendy says, when I moved to my apartment, the electric company here in Florida required me to pay an $875 deposit. Why? Because your credit? Because there was some issue with your credit just to make sure that you could turn on the electricity because, oh, Wendy may not be able to afford to pay her electricity bill or something. It's the kind of crap they pull. Yeah. Ula Hula says, cut the defense budget. Economic problem solved. Wouldn't that be nice? How are we going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? I got an idea. Cut the defense budget. Help people out. Make sure they stay in their homes. By the way, this wouldn't be happening in Europe. This doesn't happen in Europe. People are taken care of.
You could get rid of 3/4 of our defense budget and still be, we'd still be paying more than the other 10 countries.
Yeah, exactly. Disgusting. Got more news to get to in a moment, but I want to tell you about our friends at Liquid IV. So, you know, one thing I like about Liquid IV is they donated over 10 million sticks to people around the world to help in their give back mission. Talk about giving back right now, to bring hydration and vitamins and minerals to important parts of the world that absolutely depend on this right now. So what is Liquid IV? I'll take a look at your screen here. This is Liquid IV. They contain 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana, healthier than sugary sports drinks, no artificial flavors, preservatives, and less sugar than an apple. So, you know, when you want a way to jumpstart your day, like my wife was like super tired this morning. So you just take like a vitamin C hydration multiplier to kickstart your day, right? Immune support. Maybe you need one just to help you go to sleep a little better. They have that as well. So, you know, if you need something first thing in the morning before a workout, when you feel run down, daily hydration, maintenance, hangover cure, whatever it is, they're great tasting. They have lemon, lime, acai berry, passion fruit, guava, watermelon, apple pie, or strawberry. Again, the company is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military, and doing 10 million of these servings globally. So really fantastic. It's the perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly.
Jennifer's been drinking this stuff for like well over a year. She loves it. She takes the lemon lime hydration multiplier, drinks a ton of that every day. So it's good stuff.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, the sleep stuff is great too. Really helps you. Like, so anyway, check them out and you're going to get 25% off anything you order. When you get better hydration today using promo code INVEST. So grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code INVEST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code INVEST at liquidiv.com. Our thanks to them. So Grover was just barking because the doorbell rang, and one of our viewers, Rocky, remember he painted a Grover picture?
Yep.
It just arrived. So my wife, for Father's Day, had it made. It just arrived a little bit late. But we had it printed, made onto a nice frame.
Oh, wow. That is really cool.
So now I have it for my desk. So when little buddy over here is barking like crazy, I can just put this up and remind you going on. But so that was what the doorbell was ringing just a few minutes ago. So
he is on high alert right now.
He is. He's like, man. So thank you so much for this. This is going on my desk. I absolutely love this.
See? High alert.
What is going on, man? I took you on a walk this morning. I fell on the street. I got a bloody arm for you this morning. All I ask is just you be quiet during my show. Did I show you my bloody elbow? So much. Is this like the soundtrack from Schindler's List or something? Yeah. Is that what it is?
No, it's just this. I just typed in sad violin on YouTube.
Oh, Grover. I'm telling you, man. Things I do for you. He's out of my camera shot now. All right, we got to talk about Amazon this morning. So it's going to be a big week for Amazon. The Teamsters could be about to put the union smackdown on Amazon. The Teamsters are going to vote tomorrow on this. It's one of the largest labor unions in the United States. It's going to vote tomorrow on a sweeping plan to organize Amazon workers in their warehouses and their drivers. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters is gathering this week for its annual convention. And it's going to vote on a resolution that is going to try to make workers support Amazon workers and help them achieve a union contract a key priority. Like, this is their main goal. They're calling it the Amazon Project. The whole Teamsters, they're going after them. You know, tired of seeing Jeff Bezos there, make phallic-shaped rockets and make tens of billions of dollars and not allow their workers to unionize and poor working conditions, making sure that they're literally hitting every stop, 400 packages that they have to deliver in a day. If you stop to go to the bathroom, sorry, just might lose your job. The Teamsters plan to create a special Amazon division within its ranks that's going to fund and assist workers with organizing, according to a copy of the resolution that they obtained. Vice News got their hands on this. The resolution is expected to pass. So the Teamsters are expected to stand on this and say, we're doing this. We've talked at length here on the show about the working conditions at the Amazon warehouses and the driving conditions. And just to give you some insight into the pay differences here, like, why would anyone not want, here's the thing, why wouldn't you want a union? Well, the reason you wouldn't want a union is if you're scared that your bosses are intimidating you and they're talking you out of it, like what Amazon did. Remember what Amazon did down in Alabama? They put up signs in the bathroom stalls telling them to not unionize. I mean, all of the constant propaganda from their bosses, to literally like seminars on why, you know, unions are bad. Oh, really? So better working conditions, higher pay, that's bad? That's bad? See, people have just been lied to about unions for so long. People have been lied to. And for a lot of young people who are just starting out, they don't know about unions. They don't know, understand the power of unions. I bet so many of you watching right now have heard from you. Drop me a comment. You've said, hey, you know, my dad was a union worker. And because of that, we took such great care of our family. We were able to get better benefits. We were able to get better paychecks. We were able to better time off. We were better, just treated better overall. Quality of work. Just an example, right? Teamsters, UPS, FedEx. Guess who makes more money? I'm just going to throw this out there in the chat. Tell me what you think. Do Amazon drivers make more? Do UPS drivers make more? Do FedEx? Again, UPS is Teamsters, right? FedEx. I think FedEx is Teamsters, right? Their pay, guess what? Their pay is significantly higher. Here's an example of one Amazon driver. She's like, I absolutely would love to be unionized. She's like, I'm trying to get a job at UPS right now because they just pay better. They're a union. They pay better. They take care of their employees. And she's running around driving 400 packages a day. Here's Natasha.
Jackie Nash makes $20.25 an hour. Nash is trying to get a job at UPS.
They pay way more. They top out at $38. They got raises every 6 months. They do not slave you with all these packages. And they're a union. Who does not want to work for a union?
Imagine
that. So they give her an app and they give her 400 packages. 400 packages in a day. How are you going to deliver 400 packages in a day? That's freaking crazy. But of course, you remember what happened down in Alabama that got shot down, right? So good luck there. Bernie Sanders went down there to try to campaign on the behalf of them and spoke out very eloquently about it. Here's a guy who could have been president, but is not, who was standing with these workers. And Amazon wouldn't allow any kind of organizing about union organizing on their property. Nothing. You couldn't do it anywhere near the property. Nothing. But they could put up all the propaganda they wanted about anti-unions right there inside Amazon warehouses when you're going to the bathroom.
And as all of you know, where the very, very rich are becoming much richer, while half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck and millions are working for starvation wages. And you here in Bessemer, Alabama, you're prepared to stand up and to say that every worker in this country deserves to have decent wages, decent working conditions, decent benefits, and to be treated with dignity, not as a robot.
But Jeff Bezos didn't think so. He was asked about this yesterday during a conference call, and they asked him, like, how do you feel about, you know, crapping all over your workers down there in Alabama, not letting them unionize? And his answer was, we need to do better by our employees. That was his answer. Okay. So we'll see that Teamsters vote tomorrow. We'll bring that to you on Friday to see what happens with Amazon. But this could be a real sea change for the workers at Amazon. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful on that. Hey, did you see what happened yesterday with AMC? So over the past few days, we've been covering this stock here on the show. We've been covering what's been going on with AMC. And of course, everyone trying to take it to the man, right? Sort of it's the Reddit forums trying to stick it to Wall Street with these short positions on. So the AMC apes, the ape nation, really trying to hold strong. I see all these people saying, we're ape nation, we're strong, we're holding, we're holding, we're holding. The problem is, right now, Wall Street might be getting the upper hand. If you've been watching what's been happening with AMC over the past week, you'll notice that the algorithms are in full effect. And people, you know, the Redditors, the retail traders, are just getting hammered. And it's becoming increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to try to compete with the algorithms of Wall Street, who can, right when the stock gets to a 50-second or 50-cent mark on a particular stock, you know, manages to hold, manages to buy more, manages to sell just a little, manipulating the price just enough to make sure that you're screwed, just to get you squeezed out of the process. So, you know, I was struck by this piece in Forbes. It's like, you know, are the apes now running Wall Street? You know, it sounds good, right? This idea, like, we're sticking it to the man. But who ends up always winning? You know, it's Wall Street. It's Wall Street. Gets to run away with these, you know, and crap all over you. And so the algorithms have been really in full force this past week as hedge funds have been buying up, you know, these large institutions that have been stepping in. And a lot of these Redditors are like, what is going on? Like, they're trying to make trades. It's all choppy. It's all weird. Everything's acting weird. And people are getting squeezed out. So my fear is, like, you know, these small retail traders who are trying to jump into this process right now, they're trying to see if we can go up like David and Goliath style against Wall Street. They're getting crushed. They're getting crushed whether they jump over into crypto and then they're trying to buy into Dogecoin and they're getting squeezed. Try to jump into GME again. It's like Wall Street's like said, wait a second, we learned our lesson with GameStop. You're trying it now with AMC. Like, we know what's up. So you want to come after us, multi-million-dollar algorithm? Good luck. Good luck. And what's funny is you can actually see it in action if you look at the tape. If you're a trader, you'd see what's happening on Wall Street. You can see these 50-cent trades. You can see what's happening. And you can see that it's an algorithm at work. So good luck trying to trade that situation. You're going to get screwed. And so be very, very careful. And I know we have a lot of AMC people on here who watch this show, who trade this stock, who are bullish on it. But, you know, AMC's algorithms are at work. And these Wall Street algorithms are at work and people are getting screwed. Are you one of these people that got screwed? Like, let me know in the chat, but it's very, very difficult right now. And we were hoping for these sort of retail trades. Like, that was the goal. We were hoping for, like, retail traders to be able to drive this story. Everyone was excited about this David and Goliath tale going up against Wall Street. But at the end of the day, when you're up against these millionaires, well, you bought it at $6.99. Are you still holding it? Good for you. Like, if you're a long-term hold, like if you're doing it as a long-term hold, I can't give you financial advice, but it seems to me that I'm not a financial advisor. I don't know what the long-term play is on AMC. You know, we still have yet, the proof is in the pudding. Like, if you're day trading AMC, that's a different animal. You know, some definite upsides to day trading this volume right now on AMC, but we keep getting near this like 60 cent mark. And you see the algorithm at work, like 60 cents, boom, down, 60 cents, boom, down. Right at that 50, like half of, at the 50 cent mark, boom, down, short squeeze. Get stuck in this trap and then people get screwed. Keep squeezing these people out. It's almost like there was like a meeting on Wall Street and they were like, hey, how can we get these guys back? What do we do? Oh, let's unleash the computers. These guys can't compete with that. Sure, they can all get on Reddit and say one thing at one moment and talk about how we're all going to trade the stock today. We're all going to buy and go long. Then Wall Street just screws them all. And they panic out of the market and they lose so much money. So be careful out there. So I want to warn you. I mean, the data doesn't lie. And the traders that I talk to on a regular basis, and you can just look at the tape. Just go analyze it. You see what's happening. It's market manipulation at its finest. And it's algorithms and these large institutions. So be careful. Be careful. That's my little public service announcement for you today. I want to tell you about IPVanish. And then I want to talk about this story about Europe in a second here. So IPVanish is a virtual private network. And, you know, I use it for trading. I certainly use it for when I'm doing my crypto trades. Whenever I'm doing anything privately, I don't want anybody snooping on me banking. Like, if you banking in public on a Wi-Fi, you better have your head examined. IP Vanish is a virtual private network you put on your computer, your tablet, your phone. So even things like the Fire Stick, when you're streaming media, when you're using a VPN, all of your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing. It's because whatever you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours. IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. So for listeners of this show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month, $31 for the year. And what you get it is anonymous IP address. It means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. Circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations, and you get 24/7 support. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. Claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. And that's with more than 6,000 reviews. So these guys, show them some love. They are repeat sponsors. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that bosses should be able to email you at night, call you at night, text you at night after you leave the office? Drop me a comment. Do you guys think that that's acceptable?
I would say it's acceptable for mafia bosses, but not like employer bosses.
Mafia bosses. Yeah, well, the mafia, I mean, they all bets are off then. Like, you know.
What?
Did
you not get my email?
You better be what? I sent you an email. I don't care if it went to spam. You better find it.
Next time I'm attaching a horse head to my email.
Well, lawmakers in Europe are asking for an executive action that would give workers the right to totally disconnect when they are off the clock.
You grabbed a 4K video again.
Oh, did I? I thought I fixed this.
Oh, see it? Go. See it
it's
lagging?
A little choppy. I'll just pause it so you can see the Eiffel Tower. This means that even if you work from home, you have to have clear boundaries. They need to be set when you work and when you do not. So that's what Europe is saying. The political push is there because the visibility of overwork is blurring between working time and private time and has continued to be blurred during the pandemic because of the increase in the number of teleworkers, smart working, flexible working. So something needs to be done. That's what one of the Maltese lawmakers told CNBC. A disconnect rule already exists in France and Ireland. It does not mean that your boss can't email you off hours, but it just means you don't have to pay attention to it. You just don't have to respond to it. This works well with small businesses, but it could be tricky with companies across continents and time zones, of course. But they said they're going to be flexible on all of this. I think it's a great idea. We are way too connected. I think it's, the other day I saw, where was I? I was away for the weekend and I was at a hotel and I was watching the soccer game. I was watching the Portugal Germany game, and everyone was there watching the game in the big sort of bar area at the hotel. And there were these two girls like that. They made a point of like asking the hotel staff to like move the chairs so they could be closer to the TV. Right. So they moved the chairs so they could be closer to the TV to watch the game. These girls, I was behind them, so I was pissed because I wanted to be closer to see the game, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm having like an appetizer and they are literally on their phones the entire time on Instagram. They didn't look at the game once. They were like taking pictures of the screen of the game and then like post, and they're like back and forth on their phone. They didn't watch the game at all. Just totally online the entire, like even here, just to watch a game, you're still connected. Just got to disconnect. But to have bosses who are constantly up in your grill, and the problem is that a lot of them, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, right?
Well, isn't that what second shifts are for? You know, like if you need something after hours, you've got other people to do that. Like if you're going to have that kind of work.
Point.
Yeah, get it your second shift.
Like when I worked at McDonald's, like my boss didn't bother me at home. Like we had a second shift that would make the burgers and everything. Like I went home.
Yeah, no, I remember as a manager, when I was a grocery store manager, when the morning crew would come in, because I ran the store from like midnight till 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever. And so when I'd have a meeting with the morning crew, when they came in, told them what we did for the day, and then I left. And it's like they never called me after to say, hey, you know, what are you doing with this? Or
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious what you guys think about it. I mean, I think depends on your position, I guess. Wendy says, yeah, we have a life after work hours, you think. But then, you know, you're sort of expected to be on email and finishing that report and doing a bunch of other crap. So I like these EU rules. You know, France has already taken one step in that big direction, saying, like, disconnect, you're done, go home, we can't bother you.
There's lot of stuff from
EU. Europe.
We need to incorporate here when it comes to food, everything. Like, we need
vacations.
To take notes on a lot of, yeah, exactly. Maternity leave, healthcare.
Yeah, paternity leave. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, healthcare, vacations. You know, seriously.
Gun laws.
30 days off. Drug laws. Gun laws. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because they really, like, in Europe in August, like, you might as well, you're not going to get any work done. Like, Europe in August, like, just everyone just shuts down. They're like, literally, people are like, well, we'll see you in September. Really? Like, in the United States, people are like, hey, I'll be back in a week. Yeah, I'm working. It's August. I'm working.
Well, and there's a lot of countries that for, like, 2-3 hours in the afternoon, they completely shut down for siestas, where they go and eat a good meal and take naps and all kinds of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, we saw, we talked about the Michael Moore movie, right? Who should we invade next? And he talks about Italy, and he goes to Italy and he looks about their vacation, and they work very hard when they're working. And then they take a 2-hour lunch. They go home to their house. They eat a big pasta meal. They have glasses of wine, and the whole factory just shuts down. Like, there's not a shift of people working there at the, is it Ducati?
Ducati, yeah.
Ducati motorcycle factory, right? They're like, nope, we're done. With the plant closes during lunch. There's no one here working lunch shift. Everyone goes home. And by the way, you also get 30 days off.
I'm actually friends with their social media manager, Pedro, and he just talks about what a great place it is to work. He's just like, he's such a happy guy working for them.
Wow. Wow. Imagine what that would be like, Amazon employees. Could you imagine like the Ducati factory in Italy running things the way that Amazon runs things in the United States?
Well, and what did it
you
say
know,
they
love
get like
to go around?
Didn't that say they get like 80 days of vacation or something like that? It's something crazy like that. They get like, they can take like a month and a half or something like that off of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, well, it might actually be 8 weeks. Is it eight weeks?
Eight weeks,
I forget.
Something, but it's insane. It's like we barely get a week here. A lot of places you don't even get a week.
No, maybe in your second or third year at a company, you can hopefully get that second week of vacation. But yeah, like I think in Europe in general, and I mean, you know, you're just take time off and no one bothers you. Like, you're gone, you're gone. Like, oh, Sandra, she's on holiday. Don't even think about messaging her. Like, she's not going to get back to you and by the way, they will not. They will not respond to emails. Like, they will not be responding while they're on vacation. Like, they're off, they're off, they're off. Good for them. We go to the bank in Europe and, you know, my wife went in the bank one time and she was like, had to meet with a person. And the other one was like, oh, you're here to meet, I don't know what her name was, Marguerite. She's on break right now. She's in the back having an apple. Oh, like in America, you'd be like, let me go get her for you. Right?
Yeah, and then she'd have to eat her apple right there in front of you or just let it brown until later.
Right. Like in Europe, it's sacrosanct. Like, oh no, sorry. You know, she's going to enjoy that apple and you can sit here and wait till Sandra is done with her apple.
Let's hope. Yeah, hope Marguerite eats quickly.
Take a 2-hour siesta. Pedro's having his 2-hour siesta. You're going to have to wait till he's done.
Do they do siestas there? Or?
I mean, in Spain, I think they do. I think they still, a lot of people do. I don't know. I think in Spain they do. But they, because it, the reason, I think, was it because it was so hot in the afternoons, like it became unbearably hot for doing outside work. And that's where the idea of a siesta came. Like you would just, and I think that's also why they eat dinner at 10, at 11 p.m. at night too, because like everything's like shifted backwards, you know?
Well, it was crazy because
so
like
Spain, they eat dinner like
when my family would visit from Costa Rica, it did not matter what we were doing. We had to plan so that at a certain time in the afternoon, they had to be home so they could take their naps. Like if you'd had to plan your day around their naps.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, what are we living for, you know, so we can make more money and then die? We can't take it with us.
My uncle Umberto, he was always so like, he was always like, why do you people just have watches on? Like, why are you so worried with time? He's like, just sit down and relax. Like, take your watch off. It'll give you ulcers.
Wow. That's amazing. It's true. And, you know, when you go to like Paris, you go to other places, like people don't walk around with big like Starbucks cups of coffee. Like no one walks around with a takeout cup of coffee. Like people sit down to have their coffee. You don't see people walking around with a big drink like we do in America. Like, oh, I can't just enjoy this coffee and sit here and read the newspaper and, you know, like in Europe. And
they don't have big gulps at the 7-Eleven on the corner?
No, there's no big gulps. Like you're not stopping at a convenience store and getting a big gulp. I love when we were in Europe and you go through in like in Italy and you're on the turnpike or on the highway and you stop at to get gas. You'll get gas, but then there's a bar. There's like a counter. You can go up. You can have a coffee, and people just stand there and they'll have their espresso and they just stand there and talk. They'll have a little sandwich and they just stand there. They don't take it on the road. They just stand there and have a little coffee. They chat with some people. Then they get back on the road. Maybe that's why their cars are so clean. Ours, we have like, there's French fries. I bet every one of you watching right now has a French fry hidden under your seat somewhere in your car.
I don't because I don't eat in my car. I ate in my car one time and it was not French fries.
And that's the last time you ever did it. It was soup.
Yeah. It was the first and last time, and now I can't sit in the passenger side, but it's okay.
Oh man, I don't want to hear that story. But in America we have it's all food you can hold in one hand while you drive, like burritos, you know, stop at a Chipotle and get a burrito and I can drive. I can make that trip, you know. So you just don't have that. So I'm all for this. Mainstream media in America loves to bash Europe on a regular basis. And the reason they do is because they're billionaire corporations that run those things and they don't want their employees to have 80 days off. They don't want to have to have like, you know, paid time off for maternity leave and paternity leave and all of these additional things. And guess what's amazing about what happens in Europe is that they're far more productive. Isn't that shocking? Way more productive, happier.
Well, I mean, you don't have to.
Less illnesses.
Look at what, like the way we've been doing things since what we did to the Indians. I mean, we still have Indians on reservations. And here it is, 2021. You know what I mean? It's like we could have learned from those people so many things about raising kids and just communal living and stuff like that. We could have learned so much, but instead, we don't like to learn from other people. We think we've got it all figured out. And, you know, they try to just make it so that it favors the rich. It always has. You know, you look at the railroad and what the people of the railroad did to people when they were going through trying to build it. You know, it's like it's money has always been the most important thing in this country. And they don't care about the quality of life at all.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more concerned about the bottom line. And it's like, I just come back to the idea, you know, something I saw a few years ago stuck out to me. There was a mummy buried with gold. And I loved this photo because it was amazing. See if I can find it here. They discovered this mummy and it was like perfectly preserved. It was just like literally a skeleton, and surrounding the skeleton all around it was he was like holding, I don't think I can find it, but he was just holding gold. Like he had gold in his hands. He had gold around him, like staffs and necklaces and everything. And he literally is laying in the crypt like that. And of course his skin, everything else is gone. It's just bones clutching gold. And I'm just like, you know, isn't that just a great metaphor? I mean, it's just, no, it's not a metaphor. It's just a great example of like, why are we holding on to this stuff? You know, because analogy, I guess, yeah, we can't take it with us. We spend so much time focused on that. And then of course, when we're gone.
Well, it's like we waste the most precious asset we have, which is time, on worrying about things that don't matter, that we can't take with us, that like all we got to do is embrace the time. Like I was saying, my uncle said, like, about watches, it's like they embrace their time. Like, if they're going to eat that apple, they're going to eat that apple. They're going to sit down. They're going to enjoy that cup of coffee. They try to enjoy every moment that they can with the things that they choose to give their time to. It's like we are the opposite. We just like waste our time trying to find something, whatever that is.
Or we're doing something, we're not fully engaged in it at all. Like we're there, but we're not even there.
It's like,
you go to a concert to watch a singer and
we're like this. Oh, they're getting ready to sing my favorite song.
Yeah. That drives me nuts. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, here we go. Like, oh, I've finally waited to go see, the Rolling Stones in concert after all these years. And I've seen so many videos of them over the years. Right. Do you think that your crappy phone video is going to be better than the one that was produced by Martin Scorsese and is a feature documentary on stage performance? I always laugh at that. I do. I'm a victim of it too. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to get a quick snapshot of this just to, and then I put it down, but I don't like film the whole concert, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, no matter where you go these days, like any waiting room or something. I remember when I don't remember how old I was, but we'd go to the doctor and you'd go play with other kids in the doctor. Like there's kids playing, people talking and stuff. You know, there might be magazines and stuff in there or something you could read. But now anywhere you go, people are just sitting there on their phone, just face buried in their phone. And now your face is buried in your phone with masks. Nobody engages anybody anymore. In Europe, they're so friendly. They chat like there. You'll see people that are strangers go sit down with other strangers and have coffee. That doesn't happen here.
No, you drive around Portugal, you drive around, you see people just sitting outside, having a coffee, having a beer. They're all talking, you know, they all get together and talk. They're hanging out. That's what they do.
And if you walked up, they'd probably invite you to sit down. Like, you know,
yeah,
not here.
Yeah. 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 We have a different way of thinking about what is success. And I think that's why you're seeing so many workers right now. Why are you seeing this mass exodus of people from work? I read one piece this morning and said, you know, this woman said, I was making $11 an hour. They called me back now that the pandemic has lifted. And she said, I just decided to quit. She said, because I want to be able to focus the rest of my life on the art that I want to make, the music that I like to make. And that's what I want to spend my time doing. And I'm going to do that instead of making $11 an hour at this horrible job that I can't stand. Just sucking your life away. And when you think about like that, you know, you're trading time for money. Trading time for money. That's what you're trading when you do that. And you never get that back. And the boss that's, you know, the owner of the company that you're working for is not doing that. They're not trading time for money.
They're trading time for money.
They're trading your time for money. Exactly right. It's exactly what's happening. Getting alerts like crazy on AMC is exploding right now. So my watch is going off like crazy. So AMC up a little bit. Anyway.
Well, you know what? What's sad is that people spend that much time working for money, but then the money that they're making isn't enough for them to, get by. So then they're spending the rest of that time worrying of how they're going to make it. You know, how can they do better or make more money or something like that enough to just survive? And it's like a constant, you know, waste of more time.
Yeah. Well, because we don't have the financial education in the country. And then we also have a debt system that doesn't help people. So in Europe and other places in Norway and the Norwegian countries, you know, you have a system that provides and is able to take care of you. So you can actually live happily, work on the things that matter to you most in your life, live the life that you dream of. You know, everyone, we want to talk about the American dream all the time. what is the American dream? It's to work for somebody. Literally, the American dream, as it's written, is to work for somebody else, not in these terms, not in these words, but to work for somebody else, earn a paycheck, have a retirement fund that you're putting money into by working for this other company, for working for somebody, buying a house that you're paying a mortgage on, buy a car, go into debt, have really nothing more to show for it. That's the American dream. It's really a lie if you think about it. And in Europe and other parts of the world, like you're not having to go into massive student loan debt. You have a healthcare system that takes care of you. And
I bet most Europeans don't understand the concept of paycheck to paycheck.
No, I don't think they do. Do we have any Europeans watching right now? I'd be curious if we have any Europeans watching right now. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a great discussion to have. And again, that's why you have so many workers in the United States. They're just saying, "What? There's got to be more, you know, there's got to be more to life than this." Yeah, Asia says, isn't that the lie they tell us? You're poor because you don't work hard enough. Yeah, exactly. But it's not about working harder. It's about working smarter, right? And it's about having your money work for you. Boyd, do you live in Britain? Are you're British, United States now? Or are you in the UK, European? Victor is European. Norwegian, Mr. Hodland. Well, I always talk about, Spain. We don't do siestas anymore, though. Sebastian says, no siestas. Yeah, I mean, Norway, we talk about Norway all the time being one of the happiest countries in the world. Germany, as someone was saying in the chat, yeah, that you go home for lunch. You go home for lunch. Even at the schools there, they go home for lunch, have a proper lunch at home, and then they go back to school. I mean, think about that. Different world, but we don't want to upset the apple cart. You know, that's the way that the ruling elite in the United States, they want to keep us ignorant. They want to keep us in the dark. But thank you. You know, that's why you watch this show, because we're able to give you a global perspective and outside of the mainstream media. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to tell you what's going on. And I don't have an agenda. I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats. I'll call BS out on both of them. But we've been lied to for way too long. And our financial ignorance in the United States is palpable. They want to keep you stupid. That's the purpose. That's the goal. Because if they can keep you stupid, they can keep you working for them. They can keep you on that treadmill. I have no agenda other than to educate you. You know, I was pretty ignorant, around money up until my early 30s. It took me a long time to undo a lot of fears that I had about money. And it wasn't until I started understanding how the entire system works and started to build wealth and have money work for me instead of working for somebody else. That was the goal. So, my friends, that's going to do it for the show today. I want you to subscribe. But if you're new here, I'd love for you to subscribe. We do the show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time right here on the old channel on Morning Invest. We have other videos that we produce in the afternoon as well on different topics, whether it's stocks, crypto, gold, real estate, etc. Someone was just asking here in the chat, where do you get your gold? I use Birch Gold is who I use. I love Birch Gold. They have a minimum, though. I think they have like a $5,000 minimum to buy, but they are fantastic. They will ship you directly. And by the way, just go there and get your free gold kit. We have a link right here. Just go to morninginvest.com/gold and get their Golden Eagle coins and the silver as well. So, and they'll ship it right to your house. And then you want to hold physical gold, not paper gold. That's what you want in, as a store of value. So go to morninginvest.com/gold. Someone was asking in the chat. So thank you for that question. That's who I use, Birch Gold. Good guys over there. Love those guys. So thank you guys so much for subscribing. Anything else I missed? Want to talk about?
I think it's just to put some Bactine on your elbow.
Bactine? I did put some Neosporin on it. Show you my knee here.
See it? Oh, geez, man.
Yeah, see? That's see, I'm pretty... not... you could... I, yeah. I got hurt. Hope you feel sorry for me. I love all of you. We'll see you tomorrow. All for a dog.